Good morning, East Swamp Church. He is risen. He is risen indeed. It's been great to read all your comments this morning on the screen and see how you're sharing the declarations that Christ is indeed alive. If this is your first time joining us, we want to especially welcome you. Or maybe you've been a regular part of East Swamp Church, and no matter who you are or how long you've been a part of East Swamp Church, we want to know that we are thrilled to have you worshiping with us on this Resurrection Sunday. But before we do get into our service, I do want to remind you that you can still sign up for our family giveaway by going to easterprize.com. Just list your name and your email, and you will be registered. Again, that's easterprize.com. And you will be registered for our family giveaway. When we started planning for our Easter services over 2 months ago, we had absolutely no idea that we would be celebrating the resurrection together like this over the internet. But here we are. But the Lord is here with us, and the Lord is right there with you as you are worshiping in your homes. Typically on Easter, we would be celebrating and leading worship with a full praise band and team. Even a celebration choir would be a part of the celebration. The worship center here would be filled with hundreds of people, but right now the worship center is empty. But the reason we celebrate is because we also have an empty tomb because of the resurrection. We thought about forming maybe a smaller praise team to lead a song this morning. However, we decided it was probably best to honor the directives that were given by the CDC, and we would be practicing social distancing. To that end, I did invite one praise team member. Actually, she's my favorite praise team member, that of course being Cheryl. It's okay, she's my wife, if you didn't know that. And we are not here to perform this song. We are here to lead you in worship. So as you sing along, we trust that you will celebrate with us as we worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ.
After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'"
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war
has run away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified.
Yeah, you ready? Yeah, just let me know. I don't want this to go live and people see my pajama pants. That'd be embarrassing. Good? All right, cool. Good Easter morning, everyone. It is so good to see you. We're so excited that you joined us to celebrate Easter this morning here online with us. I'm here hanging out at the church. It's kind of sad to be here in an empty building when it's usually filled on this Sunday morning. So we're making the best of it. I dressed up in my Sunday's best. We don't get an opportunity to do that much anymore. So I thought I'd take advantage of the day. If you're sitting at home in your pajamas, no judgment here. But if you did dress in your special Easter dresses and your Sunday's best this morning, we'd love to have those pictures shared with us of your family celebrating at home. Drop them in the comments or share them throughout the day so that we can stay connected that way. Again, we miss you guys all so much. We've been trying to do some different things to keep us connected. One of the things that's been taking place over this last week, Missy and our children's ministry has developed this really cool opportunity. They gave us a challenge called the Brighten Your Neighborhood Challenge. And so many of you took part in this decorating your yards and your sidewalks for Easter with items you had laying around the house. And I just want to say thank you so much for your participation. So many of you have brought life and light to your neighbors over these last few days in doing so. Hopefully you caught your family's picture in the foyer time earlier in the service if you submitted one. We had so many great submissions. Unfortunately, we could only pick three as the winner. So I have the opportunity to share those families who won. We have three prizes. And so if your name is mentioned here, make sure you reach out to Missy at mfuentes@eastswamp.org to set up your prize. In third place, we had the D'Souza family. Excellent job. You girls did an awesome job there. In second place, we had the Taransky family. I love the creativity that was used here. And then in first place, we had the Reinford family. What an incredible whole family effort you put out there to put on this incredible display. Good job, Reinford family. Great job to everyone. Thank you for your submissions. And again, if we just mentioned your name, make sure you claim your prize by emailing Missy at mfuentes@eastswamp.org. Another way that we would love to connect with you over these next few days and weeks that we can't be together is through something we're calling our 30-Day Easter Challenge Meetup. In Pastor Dave's message in a few minutes here, we're going to begin to look at this Easter challenge to get in God's Word and to follow Him more closely over the next few weeks. And in an effort to help in this, we're setting up virtual meetups where we can get together, we can discuss how it's going, and we can encourage one another in our walk with Jesus. We'd love for you to join us. We're going to be following along in a resource called the 30-Day Easter Challenge Booklet. And you can find that booklet at eastswamp.org/next. While you're visiting that site to find that resource, make sure you click on the Registrations and Events button there. And you'll find the 30-Day Easter Challenge registration. You can sign up right there to join us. So we'd love to have you join us for those virtual meetups as we encourage one another. Now, while you're there at eastswamp.org/next, you'll find a number of other items that we'd love for you to check out. One of the buttons there says Find a Neighbor, which is going to take you to the website findaneighbor.org. This is a new resource that we are really excited about as a church. When you visit the site, there's an opportunity for you, if you have needs, if whether it be financial, or you need someone to go shopping for you, all kinds of different things, you can put your need into that website there. And what we hope to do is connect you with another neighbor who has time and resources to be able to help in your time of need. And so whether you have a need or you're willing to meet a need, we'd love for you to check out findaneighbor.org as we continue to love one another as Christ has called us to. We'd also love to invite you to join us in our special Easter offering this year. Half of this offering will be going to help families in our community who have been negatively impacted by COVID-19, while the other half will go towards helping children and students with scholarships so that they can go to camps and retreats. What an incredible blessing to families in our community and to children and students here in our church. We'd love for you to join in on this. If you'd like to give to this, you can head to eastswamp.org/give, and you'll find ways that you can contribute to that fund there. Also, while you're there, if you're looking for the place where you would typically give to the general fund with your regular tithes and offerings, you can also find that at eastswamp.org/give. I know that was a lot, so make sure you check out eastswamp.org/next to find everything that we just talked about this morning. If you're visiting us for the first time this morning, we want you to make sure that you connect with us by filling out one of our Next Step cards. We'd love for you to use this so that we can get to know you a little bit better and so that we can let you know what's going on here at the church and how you can join in on what's going on here. So before we get into the rest of our service this morning, I can't fail to mention that today is the birthday of someone very special to so many of us. For the last 20 years, Pastor Jerry has so faithfully served so many of us here at the church. And it just so happens that this Easter is also his birthday. So make sure you take some time in the comments or sometime throughout today to show Pastor Jerry some love and shoot him a happy birthday. I'd love for you to do that today. Again, we are so grateful that you are here with us today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in whom we have life both now and forever. And we can't wait to continue celebrating with you. Would you join with me as we pray? God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your goodness to us, that we can join together today. And while this is a unique way of joining, it's awesome that the message that we join to celebrate is a message that never changes. Never changes. And the power continues to be the same in it, that you, Jesus, have come from heaven to earth to live a perfect life, a life that we could not live, to go to an excruciating death on the cross, a death that we all deserve, so that in it we might have life. And so today we celebrate the good news of the gospel, that you went to the cross for our sins, but you didn't stay dead, Jesus. 3 days later, you rise from the dead. And today we celebrate that resurrection, because it's in your resurrection that we have life. Jesus, we thank you for the cross. We thank you that you are resurrected and you are very much alive and sitting at the right hand of God. And because of you, Jesus, we will one day join with you. We thank you for life. God, we pray that you would be honored and glorified in the rest of this morning and all that we do and say as a church today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. Hey, Pastor Dave here. So good to see you this morning, and happy Resurrection Sunday. We are just glad you're here with us. Looking forward to a great morning. I thought, you know, and it's a pandemic, everything's different. Why not Easter from my living room right into yours? So hope and pray that you guys are doing well. And we just pray that this is still a very meaningful Easter and morning for you guys. Know that we desperately miss you guys and are looking forward to when we can connect together in person, obviously. I don't know if you have a cross around your place there, but this is probably one of my favorites. It is made out of a motorcycle chain and a sprocket put together. I got it from motocross camp. And, you know, when it comes to a cross, they can have a lot of value. It can be a special piece of, whether it's jewelry, you know, maybe you're not out buying chocolate or things like that this Easter, but, you know, this could be a good project to make some kind of cross at home as a family. But did you know that originally this was a tool to execute people? To torture them, to humiliate them. Actually, people who went on a cross, they suffocated to death. That's really what happened. It's like the present-day electric chair. And actually, my wife and I just watched the movie Just Mercy. And it's a powerful movie, a riveting tale of a young man who came out of Harvard, moved down to Alabama to represent people on death row. And it's a great watch if you're looking for his parents something to watch during this time here. But I would say that there was one part in that movie where they showed the electric chair, and it was a gut-wrenching scene, and it's heartbreaking, and that's what this originally was. But you know what? Don't stop wearing your crosses. Don't stop using your crosses, like valuing them, because I tell you what, you know, it's a clear picture of what Easter is all about. God loves to take things that were broken, that were cruel, that were ugly, that were repulsive, and make them beautiful. And it's actually an incredible example of what he wants to do in our lives today. He doesn't make the cross a little less barbaric or a little kinder. No, it's powerfully transformed into something entirely different through Easter. So today we're going to look at two aspects of the resurrection, namely that the event itself, the reality of the event itself, and then the transformation that the event brings. And I hope you're just really blessed through our time together, and we're just looking forward to it. And I pray that you walk away with real hope and real life, especially this Easter. So let's get started here. The reality of the resurrection. This is where we're starting. And in the storyline, we're going to look at the Gospels, and we're going to join Jesus as he's walking with his disciples in Mark 8. And in Mark 8 there, he is... he's actually talking with them, and he says, hey, who do you think who do the people say that I am? And then he says to the people, you know, his disciples there, and what about you guys? Who do you say that I am? And actually, till we're done this message here this morning, I'm really hoping and praying that you answer that same question. Like, who do you think Jesus is? And well, Peter, in that setting, in the storyline there, he goes, hey, we believe you're the Messiah. We think that, you know, I think you're the Messiah. And then Jesus goes on to give these words. And he tells Peter, hey, don't be too loud about that. Let's keep that quiet. But I do want to tell you this. He says, Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. And what's it say there? He said he spoke plainly about this. He spoke plainly about this to his disciples, and Peter rebuked him. He's like, no way. Not going to happen. And Jesus is like, get behind me, Satan. Gets right in Peter's face. Some serious smack talk. But, you know, I think what Jesus is doing here is, like he's saying there, he's trying to clearly communicate the reality of his death and resurrection, and he's saying it's going to happen. Now, I don't know about you, but in our house, sometimes communication can be a little bit challenging, especially during a pandemic. My wife and I have been loving our walks, and we're getting out on walks, and actually just earlier this week, happens pretty regularly, actually, but we were on a walk, and she's talking to me about something that was very important to her, and I thought I was listening. I thought I was tracking along pretty well, and at one point, we get in part of the walk, and she stops. She turns to me. She's like, Dave, you are not hearing me. You are not getting what I'm trying to say here. And I had to sort of like take a step back and be like, okay, all right, I'm going to really focus in now. I'm going to really focus. I'm going to get this. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but it happens in our place. Well, see, that's what Jesus is saying. He's trying to clearly communicate something significant is happening here. It's going to happen here. Paul says it this way. When you think about the resurrection, Paul says it in 1 Corinthians. He says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is futile. If Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, your faith is futile, and we're still in our sins. See, Paul says the opposite. If it didn't happen, we're in serious trouble here, guys. We're in serious trouble. This guy, John Whale, belief in the resurrection. It's not an appendage. It's not an extra to the Christian faith. It is the Christian faith. Are you hearing this? This is of utmost importance. The reality of the event is of utmost importance. And each one of those guys just speak to that right in this moment. And they're basically saying it really happened. And honestly, if it didn't happen, Jesus, what Jesus taught and what he says, it just simply doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And that's what Paul was, you know, pointing to there as well. None of our faith makes sense if Jesus did not rise from the dead. You know, there's some evidence. There's, you know, as we look at those scriptures there, we have some evidence there. I want to turn now to other historical evidence outside of the Bible, just to try to show this, that the reality of the event, that it really happened. It's interesting that historical witnesses, they speak, people, when you talk to them about Jesus, generally everyone, and historically, even scholars, even Bible scholars, even non-Christian Bible scholars would agree that Jesus lived, that Jesus was a great man, that he did some awesome things. And they really wrestle over what he meant by his words sometimes. And so that's where it gets tripped up. But you can look to outside historical witnesses for proof that to confirm Jesus lived and he died, to confirm that his closest followers had a significant change in their life after they witnessed the resurrection. So we're going to look at a few right now. This guy, what's his name? Tacitus, Governor Tacitus. Doesn't that sound good? All right. Emperor, he wrote about after Emperor Nero burned Rome. He's writing about how Nero then blamed it on, quote, the persons commonly called Christians, all right, who were hated for the enormities, for their atrocities. He's saying these Christians, they were terrible. Christus, the founder of the name, was put to death by Pontius Pilate. You see what he's saying? He's confirming. Here's a source outside of the Bible, a historical figure, just confirming the death of Jesus. The next one here, check this name out, Pliny the Younger. I wonder if there was like a Pliny the Older or something like that. Does anyone else think that way? That's just how I think when I see this stuff. But he wrote about early Christians. He wrote actually before Tacitus. He wrote, the early Christians he persecuted and punished would sing songs as to a god. Okay, what's he speaking to? He's speaking to the fact that those early followers of Jesus truly thought Jesus was no ordinary man. Like, he was a god. He was a god. Okay? This historian, Dr. Paul Meyer, he says this. He says, this is positive evidence from a hostile source. Do you see what's happening there? Positive evidence from a hostile source, from a source outside of the Bible, from a source that they wouldn't be trying to prove that Jesus actually lived, that Jesus actually died, that Jesus actually came back from the dead. No, they're hostile sources. And he says, in essence, if a source admits a fact that is decidedly not in its favor, the fact is genuine. It's an interesting form of conversation. I know we probably don't take that very often, but historical witnesses outside the Bible, what do they say? It's true. It really happened. All right, we can go beyond that to the disciples, to the persecution and the rejection that they faced. Let's start here with in Acts 12. This is James, the brother of John. He was one of the disciples that Jesus called while he was fishing with his brother. Him and his brothers were called the sons of thunder. Okay, this is now approximately 10 years after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. King Herod put James, the brother of John, to death, cut his head off, took it right off, about 10 years later. Are you tracking with me here? Like, this is beyond a fad at that point. Like, they were fully bought in to the fact that they saw a resurrected Jesus. Josephus, all right, he's a Jewish historian. He wrote about James, the half-brother of Jesus, who was stoned to death. All right, you have the second century church father Origen. He wrote about Peter's death of being crucified. Tradition tells us that every single one except John, every single one of the apostles except John, were martyred. Okay, now it's not unique for a world religion to have martyrs, but it happens in other religions as well, or in other situations as well. But what is unique about this is, check this out. They died for a belief in something that they saw with their own eyes. They died for something that they saw with their own eyes, the resurrection of Jesus. Now, you might say that doesn't make sense to me, or I'm not tracking. Again, see, others have died for something that they came to believe from someone else. But these people actually died for something that they saw with their own eyes. So either they died alone at the hands of various rulers, you know, separated from each other, for a lie that they purposely just thought up on their own, or their life completely changed and they died for something that they truly saw with their own eyes and that they truly believed, and that it truly changed their life. See, their choice to believe this and go to their death did not bring them any fame, did not bring them any fortune, it did not bring them any credibility, you know, anything of that nature. They lost everything for this. They literally lost everything for this. And it speaks to the credibility that it actually happened. It really did happen. You have Jesus, you have these historical witnesses, you have his early closest followers, years later, with nothing to gain, continuing to testify that, hey, Jesus really is alive. The resurrection really happened. So I want you to think about this question a little bit. What's the hardest thing to fathom about the reality of the resurrection? What's the hardest thing for you to fathom about the resurrection of Jesus, or about the reality of the resurrection of Jesus? And believe me, there's plenty to wrestle with here, because even the early disciples, the early followers, they weren't tracking. They didn't get it. They had questions. And you know what? God can handle your questions. He's big enough for that. If he isn't, we have a problem. All right? So I thought we'd take 60 seconds and just discuss that amongst you there. That just gets the conversation started, I know. Maybe you want to comment in. I'd love to hear in 5 words or less, you know, how would you answer this question? Comment that in. We'd love to hear from you that way and just take the discussion online a little bit. And then in a minute, we're going to hear from the York family. They've got a special hello from us for us from their house. And then we are going to, they're going to share a little bit about a story in the community that connects with what we were talking about here.
Happy Easter,
Swamp. Hope everyone's well. Hello.
So here we are. We are quarantined here in the York house. We are hoodies and long beards. There's no time for shaving. I don't have the equipment to take care of this thing. So here it is. You get me, the quarantine Dave York. So here we are, guys. I just wanted my family to say hi to you, and then I wanted to share something with you.
Have a great Easter, everyone. Stay bye-bye. Safe and healthy. Thank you, guys.
So what I would like to do is share a little experience that I had, and I think this brings some life to what Pastor Dave's message was about. So I volunteer at the Quakertown Skate Park, and I get the privilege to interact and build relations with a lot of different kids. They have all sorts of backgrounds and all sorts of storylines. And the hopes is that through these interactions, if God does open up a door, then I get to share some of Jesus' story with them. So it just so happened that one evening, and I can honestly say I don't even remember how the conversation started, but I was having a talk with this really cool kid about Jesus. Now, he was a professed atheist. Although he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, he thought that Jesus was a really cool guy. He was a good guy. Just not the Messiah. So our discussion, it kind of took the form of a debate. This kid, he's an intellectual thinker. He thinks deeply about things. So I think in our conversation, the biggest struggle that he had in accepting Jesus' story was the resurrection itself. He couldn't quite wrap his head around someone dying, and then 3 days later, he's alive again. He couldn't find that there was no precedence to rely on. Nothing happened like this ever before. Any of the major religions don't have somebody coming back from life. He couldn't understand why Christianity could have this. He couldn't find facts for proof. There was nothing that his science could do to rationalize a resurrected savior. Now, historically, he could see that Jesus was a man that preached love and kindness and that he cared for his people. And in that aspect, this little skater kid, he thought that was great. He was a good guy, of course. But he just couldn't understand the resurrection. He had a very difficult time having the faith in the resurrection. And I think this is a struggle that a lot of people have when we talk to them about Jesus. I can't really fault this skateboard kid to have those questions. And really, for this kid, it was kind of cool that he did have these questions. I think that God kind of opened up a door because of the questions that kid had and because of our discussion. Now, I have no idea what will come of this, particularly because now we're all sequestered in our homes. We can't leave. But I do know that God has this. This is part of God's plan, whatever it might be, just like Jesus' resurrection was part of God's plan. So I'm going to call this plan complete because I know God has this. So E-Swamp, again, happy Easter. I can't wait till we can actually see you in person again and maybe even give a handshake or a fist pound. All right, guys, take care. Peace.
All right. Thanks, church, for engaging the question. I hope and pray that starts a conversation that can continue on from here. I think if I was going to answer that question, you know, what's the hardest thing for me to fathom? I think it's like how it applies to me. And if you notice, that was in 5 words. Now, granted, I had more time to think about it, but I think it's hard. It's hard to really understand. How does Jesus' death and resurrection really apply to me personally? I find that tricky sometimes. Maybe you do too. Huge thanks to the York family. So appreciate you guys. And whether you're serving out at the park or whether you're serving in church or just a part of our church family, just so great to hear from you. And you and I, Dave, we got some hair issues going on. We are just keeping we might get unique. We might try something around here this week. We'll see what kind of transformation happens in my own life that way. But great to hear from you guys and the story of in the community. I find it so fascinating how many people you can talk to. And I just encourage you, when you're talking to someone, you know, many people have questions about Jesus and about faith, and don't be afraid to engage that. And the way I love to engage it is I love to hear their story, listen to them. And you know my favorite answer to whatever they might say, I'm like, that's cool, that's cool. And then my next question, the reason I say that is so I can ask the next question. Hey, what do you think about Jesus? You know, no matter what they are thinking currently, I'd love to get into a conversation with them about who they think Jesus is. You know, and just let them talk, listen. And then if most likely the next question you're going to want to use is, hey, what do you think about the resurrection? Because most people think Jesus is a great guy who did awesome stuff, but they get tripped up about the resurrection. And so, you know, with that young man, it's so cool that we're in this conversation with him. We've been invited into his life. And actually, through the grace of God, we've actually had an opportunity to demonstrate the gospel to them and to him and his family over this last 2 months, too. So it's just been really cool. God is working. And I hope and pray that you experience that this Easter as well in your own family. All right, so we talked about, what did we talk about? We talked about the idea, the reality of the event. Yeah, it really happened, all right? The second thing we're going to cover here is the amazing transformation that the event brings, all right? In my mind, this is, again, where it gets more personal. I really like where we go here. So as we look at the disciples, we're going to look at a lot of before and after. All right, before and after. So you look at Peter. Peter was a guy that before the crucifixion, you remember, three times he denied Jesus. Straight up to a young servant girl, to someone that he should have been able to confidently say, yeah, I know that guy. You know, I've been hanging out with that guy. He could not even admit it to a young servant girl. You know, after the resurrection, he boldly proclaimed about Jesus' death and his resurrections to thousands of people, to groups of people all at once. Here's one of my favorite verses as a pastor. I think it's so encouraging. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, this is Peter and John, after they are brought in front of a council, a legal council of that day, to testify as to what happened to this guy that was blind and now he sees. How could that possibly happen? Well, it's through Jesus, they say. And when these leaders, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Do you see what's happening there? Do you see the change? They had been with the resurrected Jesus, and it totally transformed their life. Another example, James, the half-brother of John, arguably one of the greatest transformations, and you'll see why in a moment. In John 5, we know that even his own brothers did not believe in him. Now, you might come from a church background that doesn't believe he had brothers, but Mark 6, check out Mark 6, it talks about Jesus' four half-brothers, it talks about his sisters as well, briefly. So here, his oldest brother, half-brother, James, all right, and his other brothers, they're with Jesus. And in the storyline, they're at home, they're in Galilee, and they're not really a fan of him right now. In fact, they don't believe in him. And they tell Jesus, they're like, hey, leave town, leave your hometown, go to Jerusalem. Go tell your teachings to those guys. They're going to beat you up for this. They're going to give you the smackdown. They're going to eat you up alive. You know, and they told him to go up there because they didn't believe. You know, it's crazy. After the resurrection, James is a lead elder in the Christian church. When Paul is out on missionary journey and he has those challenges and he brings it back to the church, isn't it James, the brother of Jesus, that is leading the church, that helps fix that situation or lead through that situation as the church at that time? What caused such great transformation? And I think Andy Stanley has captures the question pretty well in his book, Irresistible. He says this. He says, I'm going to try to get to it. He says, what would your brother have to do to convince you that he was the Son of God? Just think about that for a moment. Maybe you're sitting there with a brother or sister. Maybe you don't have a brother or sister. What is someone very personal and close to you, what would they have to do to convince you that they were the Son of God? Wouldn't it take something like rising from the dead? I think so. You know, when you look at the disciples' life, before the crucifixion, every single disciple deserted Jesus and ran away. Everyone. Afterwards, all those that were left, the 11 that were left, all right, boldly proclaimed the message of his death and resurrection. Do you see the transformation that happened? We're going to walk into this. We talked a lot about this Easter challenge, and we're just challenging you to take a 30-day walk with Jesus this Easter. If you haven't experienced the transformation that can come from knowing Jesus in your own life, today is the day to start that. If you already have faith, if you've already trusted in Jesus, today might be that day to take a step forward, to boldly proclaim. What would that look like for you? To boldly walk in the freedom. You know, especially in this time, what's it look like for us to feed our faith, not feed our fears? Okay? That's what our neighbors need. That's what each one of us needs. That's why I hope that's why you're here right now, to feed your faith. God has a way. He loves to take our greatest failures and transform them completely. God forgives. He redeems our very worst moments. Our sins are transformed into victories. Our deepest regrets, our deepest shames, you know, they become a testimony of God's grace, of God's mercy, of God's love. Man, I hope you hear that today. He wants to totally and completely transform your life. And just in case you needed one more example of this, we're going to look to the empty tomb. Again, it's not refuted. The tomb was empty. Look at this. Even the guards that were there and the rulers of the day said they created this lie. They said, you're to say that his disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep. They fabricated this lie. Even his critics were saying it was empty. The grave was empty. Jesus was not there. If he's not there, where is he? All right, that's the natural question. The lie was the disciples stole him. That unravels so quick. That unravels when you look at the disciples' testimony. All right? That unravels when you look at over 500 eyewitnesses that saw Jesus resurrected from the dead, alive, and none of them came forward to refute that that grave was empty. Author Clarence Hall, he says it this way: the resurrection of Jesus changes the face of death for all his people. Death is no longer a prison, but a passage into God's presence. Are you hearing that? It's no longer a prison. It's a passage into God's presence. The grave itself is transformed. Easter says you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. I love that. I absolutely love that statement. Wow. Are you seeing the transformation here? Before, even a grave, it's a cold, it's a hard, it's heartless. All right, it's empty, it's wet, it's disgusting. You wouldn't want to be there. All right, it's transformed into a symbol of hope, into a symbol of joy, into a symbol of life. Life beyond anything that this world can throw at us. That leads me to this question. What will it take? What will it take for you to open your heart to Jesus this Easter? What will it take to open your mind to the reality of the fact that he rose from the dead and that he wants to transform your life? He wants to speak right into your life. You know, remember where we started. We started with a cross. All right, a symbol. It truly is a symbol of God's heart. To take things that are broken, take things that are coarse, take things that are ugly, take things that are repulsive, and transform them and resurrect them into something that's beautiful. I'm here to tell you that that's exactly what he wants to do in your life. And you're like, Dave, there's no way. You know, you have no idea what I did. Well, let me tell you this. To be human is to be broken. It truly is. We have times of great generosity, of great goodness. And it's really cool actually to see that right now in so many different places, so many businesses, so many people being extremely generous. And that is humanity. But you know, we also have times of great greed, of great selfishness. In that sense, we're divided. You know, we have these two capacities. One that we do times where we do something and it's like, wow, that's awesome. I can't believe that came from a human. And then the other time we're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did that. All right, and we're divided. And in God, there's no duplicity like that. Like there's no corruption like that. Like he's all good. And so to be human means to be separated from God. All right, it means to be in a place where we need forgiveness, where we need help. And maybe you're like thinking even right now, like, okay, if that's what God's like, if he's separated from me simply because I'm human, then I don't want anything to do with that God. But you fail to see the fact that, like, he didn't leave us, we walked away from him, okay? And the crucifixion and the resurrection, it's God's way of bringing us back. It's God's way of closing the gap. It's God's way of making a way. Again, I think of John 3:16. It's just an awesome verse where it captures this heartbeat of God. For God so loved the world. He so loved each and every one of us. That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. All right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave his son. All right? He was born at Christmas, but he gave him fully at Easter when he gave him up for us, for our sins, to take the penalty for us, and then to rise again and to offer life. You know, he says, simply believe. This is like us. You know, he throws it out to everyone, anyone and everyone. Whoever will believe in me, you can have eternal life. It's like if you're throwing a party and you send out invitations and you're like, hey, anyone can come to this party as long as you have an invitation. Just bring the invitation with you. And you're like, they want me to bring an invitation? There's no way I'm coming to that party. That guy wants an invitation. You know, really in the same way, that's what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, simply believe. I'm putting it out there to everyone. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is trust in me. Put your faith in me. And, you know, if you'd rather not, I think Jesus says, okay, that's cool. That's cool. If you don't want to be with me on earth, I'm not going to force you to be with me in heaven forever. All right? But he offers it. It's absolutely offered. And you know what I love? Again, Jesus often gets a bad rap. But in John 3:17, for God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world. He sent his son into the world to save the world. All right? And that's you. He came for you. He came for me. He came to transform us from something that we were to something to the what we now are in him. My story. I have serious flaws in my story. Those closest to me could testify to that. But I've experienced the incredible forgiveness, the incredible freedom, and grace that comes from knowing Jesus. We're going to end with a song here called Waymaker. And you might think there is no way that God has any interest in you. But I'm here to say he is a way maker this Easter. He has made a way through the cross and through the resurrection. And we desperately want you to experience that resurrection life this Easter. We definitely want you to experience what it means to walk with Jesus starting today. And like I said, you can join that Easter challenge. We'd love to see you be a part of that. turn your hearts to him. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's light in your darkness. Maybe you're walking in significant fear right now. Just allow this song, the time during this song, allow God's Spirit to just work in your heart and your mind and just bless you in this time. We love you guys. Have a great day.
Good morning and happy Easter. I'm Missy Fuentes, director of East Swamp Kids, and I'm so grateful we can celebrate Easter together this morning. Thanks, Pastor Dave, for an awesome message. I love that we closed with the song Waymaker. Those lyrics, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, that is our God. We serve a God who still works miracles, a God who keeps his promises. He promised to make a way for us to be with him and send his son Jesus to die on an ugly cross for our sin. His resurrection is an open invitation to a new life in Christ, a life of purpose and power. If you want that and want to know him better, join us in the 30-day challenge to walk more closely with God. The easiest way to sign up for the challenge is to go to eastswamp.org/next. There's a button on that page called 30-Day Challenge Booklet. That's the resource we'll be using together. But more importantly, click on the Events and Registration button below it. That's how you sign up to participate in the challenge, which will include weekly virtual meetups to help us connect and encourage one another. While you're on our eSwamp.org/next page, you'll also see a giving button you can click on to be a part of our Easter offering. And there's a button that says eSwamp Kids Newsletter. That's where I put all of our Children's Church curriculum for the week, plus articles and other great resources you can use today or anytime during the week. Right now, I have the honor of directing you to the comments section, where our team is about to draw four winners of our Easter drawing, the Family Fun Night Quarantine Style prize packs. These prize packs include a $30 gift certificate for dinner at a local restaurant of your choice. By the way, if you're in Quakertown, a couple that we love are The Farmer and the Chickpea, The Proper Brewing Company, or any of the local pizza places. But you choose a local business you'd like to support. Your prize pack also includes a $20 Amazon gift card, so you can purchase a movie or game to have a fun family night indoors. Congrats to our four winners. Sabina will email you so we can get your prizes sent out this week. Okay, last thing I have for you today, and I'm very excited about it. The people at Orange, which is a company specializing in family ministry, put together a virtual Easter celebration for all families called Easter Jam, and we're showing it next. It includes a couple of fun activities, creative storytelling, and follow-up discussion questions every member of your family can enjoy. Easter Jam ends with the song, Oh Happy Day, which is a rally time favorite. Right now, I'm gonna invite my two teenage daughters, Mickey and Jaden, come on up. And we're gonna teach you the motions to the chorus of Oh Happy Day, so you can dance along in your living room. Okay, ready, girls?
All right. So it's pretty simple. It just goes,
oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, no, forever I am changed.
All right, should we do it one more time? Really quick?
Sure.
Ready?
Oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, no, forever I am changed.
Thanks, girls. That's awesome. That's it. Enjoy Easter Jam. And if you can't stick around now, you can find the Easter Jam video with the other resources in my newsletter, and you can watch it with your family later this week. We love you all. Have a very happy Easter.